Hello, Jackie. I'm trying to learn how to use this new recorder, and so I will try to answer some of the questions that you asked me, and I will be very pleased if it helps you in any way to understand what my life was like when I was a child. And first of all, let me say, you asked me about that piece of cable from the dirigible Norge. Well, some friends of my folks, Leonard Seppala and his wife, he was a famous dog musher. He got all the credit for bringing the serum to Nome from Nenana during the flu epidemic in 19, I don't know what year, 18, I guess. But there was a relay of drivers from Nenana to Nome, and he was the one that spearheaded it, so he got all the credit. I do not know how he acquired that cable, but they gave my mother a piece of it, or gave us a piece of it, and Harry Greep was the one that made the pin. He was an amateur jeweler, also the postmaster and commissioner at Circle Hot Springs. And he was the one that married us up on Deadwood Creek at my folks' cabin. And you asked me about C.C. Taggart. He was the postmaster on Deadwood Creek when I was little. And he had been a teacher in Pennsylvania. And I don't know why he came to Alaska, or especially up there, because he was not a miner. In fact, he was an elderly man, and he was white-haired and crippled. So whatever, I don't know the reason that he came. But he was such a nice man, and he's so good to me. And he taught me some of the basics of reading. And I found out in later years that he had a daughter. He never mentioned her at all. But I believe that could be why he left, because his family were quite a wealthy family, and this girl who became the mother of his child was a servant, I believe, in the home. I don't know many of the details, but he did, as he was dying, he told his friend Harry Greep that he did have a daughter, and her name was Mary. And I know that in the Deadwood Post Office, there were, in the books, there were many checks or money orders to that name, Mary Taggart. And he was a very wonderful man. He died in 1924, and we were gone then. We were in Norway then. And he is buried at the Central Cemetery, which I'm sure you know where that is. Now, about the 1910 census at Circle, that is wrong about my dad. He came to Circle from Dawson in 1904, and I'm not sure what year he came from Norway to Wisconsin, but it possibly was 1900. I'm not sure of that. And he was in Dawson and worked on some of the creeks there. He came over the Dyea Trail, not the Chilkoot Pass, into Dawson. And I know he worked on different creeks there, but he never owned any ground there. So he and six other men of Scandinavian heritage came to Circle. They formed in 1904, this was, and they formed what they called a Swedish syndicate. Although there was only one Swede in the group, the others were Danes and Norwegians. But I rather think that in those days, anyone that was Scandinavian was called a Swede, I believe. I don't know that for sure. Anyway, they staked their ground at several claims there on 22 below Discovery on Deadwood. And they built a cabin, probably built more than one cabin, but this particular one that my dad and my dad had is the one that we lived in for many years, and also that's where my parents lived when we, your grandpa and I, got married, and we were married there in that cabin. It was a two-room, very cozy, nice cabin. And Commissioner Harry Greep from Circle Hot Springs was the one that married us, the same man who made that pin of that piece of cable. And the name initials on that pin are A and E, and that stands for Amundsen and Ellsworth. And they were the ones that were, I don't know how to say it exactly, they were ran this dirigible. They were in the, I don't know what you call them, drivers or whatever they were of the, but where, and I don't exactly know where it crashed, but I believe they were on their way to Siberia. But this is all kind of, I'm not sure of any of that, but you may be able to find out more about it yourself. I do know that the piece of cable came from that dirigible. And Leonard Seppala and his wife gave it to my mother, or my parents. And, let's see what else. I never heard of this Chinaman, Wong Lin, that you mentioned. And he may have been a cook at one of the camps that I didn't know anything about, but I just never heard of him. And also about my dad being a partner of Charlie Rogers, that was not true as far as I know. I'm very sure that wasn't true. But I knew Charlie Rogers, but he was later years over in Ketchum Creek. And I think my dad came to Wisconsin in 1900, not in 1899. That was the year that my mother and dad got married in Norway. So, but it's easy enough for things to get, you know, confused as far as the census and all of that sometimes. But I do know that he came to Circle in 1904 and found that there were claims available, he and his partners, and they called themselves the Swedish Syndicate. And the only one who was a Swede, his name was Oscar Oman, O-H-M-A-N, and he didn't stay very long. He left and moved to Cordova, and in later years, we saw him there. Grandpa and I did. My mother, you asked about my mother. Well, she was the oldest of four, and her brother Klaus drowned as his fishing boat went down. And what year that was, I am not sure. But I know my grandmother was very upset about the fact that she hadn't consented, you know, or agreed for him to come to America. Rather, he was all set to come to America, but she put up a fuss and she didn't want him to leave. And so he thought, well, he'd put it off. In the meantime, of course, their only means of making a living, you might say, practically the only way, was to go out on a fishing boat. And it just so happened that the boat that he was on went down and all were lost on it. And of course, grandmother never forgave herself, I guess, for that. She felt it was her fault. Anyway, my mother had a brother, Alfred, and a sister, Hilda, who were quite a bit younger than she. And my aunt Hilda is the mother of Ellie, whom you know I correspond with. I think you know that anyway. And she, I do remember my mother's sister, Hilda, when we were there in Norway. She was quite a bit younger than my mother. And as far as Norwegian customs, you asked me if Mother had taught me anything about that. Well, of course the Norwegian custom is Christmas Eve is Christmas dinner celebration. And they keep the living room closed until 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and the doors are opened, and then the tree is all decorated, and that's the beginning of Christmas. And for dinner, we always had, of course, that was in Norway, I'm talking about then, and up on the creek, it was different. We had the Christmas tree, and Santa Claus came in the door asking if there's a little girl here named Ruth, and all of that, which I'm sure you've heard about that many times. But for dinner, we had lutefisk, and we also had chicken. We did not have turkey. We never kept turkeys. I suppose they would have been too hard to keep during the winter. And they kept the chickens in the summer for eggs, and then butchered them in the fall, and that was our holiday dinner, was chicken. And my mother was very good about trying to keep me entertained. She played with me in my playhouse. We'd have like tea parties, and my little playhouse, which you've seen up there. In fact, you saw it last summer, no doubt. It's pretty much ruined now, and I wish we had taken it away from there when we sold the ground, but we didn't. So anyway, that was made for me by a man named Al Inglesby, and he was a very excellent carpenter or cabinet maker, and he made that playhouse for me when I was real little. And I think my children enjoyed it more than I did, Sylvia, your mother, and Luella, and Loris and Janice too. They all enjoyed that playhouse, I think. And I understood some Norwegian before we went to Norway, but I didn't realize that I had a Norwegian accent, just as my parents did, until 1922. We visited in Wisconsin with relatives, and I guess I was a funny little girl with an accent. So my dad's cousin told me, when she came to visit us on Deadwood in 1934, she said, this little girl with a Norwegian accent was rather unusual and probably very funny. But all in all, I had a very happy childhood. I would never realize, you know, I didn't have children to play with, other children. Very seldom did I see any others except maybe the Kellys at Miller House once in a great while. But, you know, you don't miss what you don't have. And my summers were so enjoyable when I could go down to the cut where they worked, and they had it all fixed up for me. My Uncle Einar had made the cutest little sluice boxes for me, and every day I would mine, and they'd saw to it that I was never skunked, because they had gold in my boxes for me. But one time Riley Erickson thought he would see what I would do if I found a quarter or two-bit piece. Well, that spoiled it for me right there. I knew then I'd been tricked. But all in all, I hated to leave when we were leaving when I was 7 years old, because all the bachelors were my very good friends. I loved all of them, and I just didn't want to leave them. But we went to Norway, and I learned the language and went to school there. And we were there until 1924, but my mother became ill with pernicious anemia and had to be where she could have blood transfusions and doctor's care. And that, so we settled in Bellingham, Washington, where my folks had other Norwegian friends. And I went through grade school there. And then we came back, we were finally able to come back in 1929, I believe it was. And my dad was so happy to get back into mining. And So that's pretty much the story of, you know, my life there. And if there are other questions that you want me to answer, or if I can, well, just tell me, either write or call me. I'd be most happy to see what I can. If you're interested enough, I'm certainly more than glad to tell you what I can. And I'm glad to hear you got a new car. I bet you'll enjoy that. Well, I don't know of anything else, honey, so I will say for now, I love you and Michael, and thank you so much for the nice work you're doing with writing a story about Grandpa, or a book about Grandpa. Bye-bye.